don't know if you're interested. I can give this to you. I just downloaded a really interesting article on this. If
all
you
right.
Want to keep it. I have it on my
lovely.
Computer.
Okay,
home,
lovely. Thank you very much.
Like
that's great. Yeah, great.
Describes all this.
I can publish that for the students on that.
It's really, yeah. Really, yeah. Okay. Interesting. So we're looking at a painting of who knows what this is. And what is he doing?
Crossing the Delaware.
He's crossing the Delaware.
And it's okay. Very cold.
So if there was ever a rock star of American art, this is it. It is one of the most reproduced, famous paintings of any American painting. In fact, it was just in the New York Times, illustrating an article on what is our democracy. So, anyway. Unfortunately, or ironically, it was not painted by an American, it was not painted in America, and it was not painted at the time of the American Revolution. So it's a very interesting painting. In terms of myth-making, it's a fascinating painting.
When was it painted?
It was painted in the mid-1800s, call it around 1850, and by a German named Emanuel Leutze, in Dusseldorf. Now, at that time, there was a great deal of revolutionary fervor in Germany. And there was a poem that had been published that was kind of a call to arms for Germans. And in it, it referred to a boat called Liberty that was sailing for America. And so Leutze is thought to have been inspired by that poem to paint this painting. And he, in fact, wanted it to be so accurate that he wrote to the U.S. government for an exact replica of George Washington's uniform at the time. So you can see when I told you that the uniform was accurate in Charles Wilson Peel's, this is the uniform that he wore. How does Leutze create a sense of dynamism, significance? How does he give significance to this moment in time?
Well, I think the comparison, the one that everybody makes, is Caesar crossing the
Delaware. Ah, interesting.
And sort of like it's a military leader personally leading his men to achieve what they believe is an inevitable and morally good victory.
Ah, very interesting. Did everybody hear what he said? A military leader leading his troops personally to an end that's deemed to be morally right and just. Of course, this is the American Revolution. It's morally just. Now, how does he create a sense of tension in this painting? What is he doing? Sorry? His pose, okay, which is interesting because it's strict profile. Strict profile. That's an interesting feature. Okay. Taller than every other person except the flag, which of course would have to be taller than him. Any other parts of the painting? Movement. Everybody else is moving, right? There's oars in the water, and they're at a diagonal, which creates an interruption in this composition. There are horses rearing up in the background. There are men pulling and worrying and scheming, right? Thinking all around him. And in the midst of all of this, George is serene and resolute.
And
right?
His confrontation with the ice. Do they know actually historically whether this moment is accurate?
Well, there are a lot of inaccuracies in this painting, one of which is the ice. George himself wrote to the Continental Congress that there were only thin sheets of ice on the Delaware this night, but it was a frigidly cold night. And this crossing of the Delaware, which brought the men, his troops, over to New Jersey, where he would have the Battle of Trenton that we just talked about against the Hessians, he had planned a surprise attack on Christmas morning. As some of you may know, Germans celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve. And so he had counted on them having huge parties and being somewhat hungover on Christmas morning. And he he planned, and he was right. They were completely disheveled, disorganized, and did not expect a Christmas morning surprise from George Washington. So he was tactically very smart in this way, and that was, as I said, the first battle that was won by George Washington, and it was a turning point in the war. Now, the other interesting thing about this painting is the composition, which is sort of your traditional triangle, right? We have, you know, George as part of the ascending angle, the
flag
is at the top, and then, you know, you come down, and it creates a sense of, you know, stability in the scene, but also, you know, a triangle implies an apex, right? Something that's at the top, and certainly, as you pointed out earlier, that's George and the American flag. The other inaccuracy is that they didn't cross in these precarious wood boats. They had iron ore flat bottom boats, and it was pitch dark outside. So there are, you know, a few things that are the artist took license, but it's a very monumental painting celebrating this moment, and certainly continues to be part of the mythology of America, right? That were founded on these principles. We had these brave men fighting for us who were righteous. We were sort of a hard scrabble army. I mean, there's no uniforms here. Many of these men had insufficient clothing against the weather, and yet we won. Why did we win? Because we were right, right? And this is all part of this very important mythology that forms the American dream.
Is it African American in the third person on the left there or not?
Yes, he is thought to have been an aide to Washington.
Okay.
And his name was Prince William. That was his name. The frame is actually a replica of the original frame. This came to New York and was shown, and within days, 50,000 visitors visited this painting, and then it traveled all the way down the East Coast with enormous crowds. And the banner at the top says, are the first lines of the eulogy at George Washington's funeral in 1899. First in war, first in peace. Again, that theme.
Yeah.
First in the hearts of his countrymen. So first in peace. He was first in war, but also first in peace, right? He was our first president. He didn't want to be a dictator. He wanted to be an elected official. And he actually turned it down when he was offered a leadership without an election. He said no. So he is so very part of the American fabric. All right, any questions? Yes.
The number of stars that the states at the time on the...
Yes, that is again what was known or is known as the Betsy Ross flag, which is 13 American colonies, which are basically all of the states along the East Coast of America. Yes. Oh, those stars, I'm sorry. I think those are just decorative. I've never counted them up. It's 14, I think 14, right? I think they're just decorative, yeah.
How long was he in power? How long did he...
He was in power for 8 years. Yeah. And this was before term limits, so he actually declined to run again after that. He was enormously popular. So. All right. We're